I've got good news and bad news this morning. The good news is this. If you paid attention to the lessons as we read through them, they speak of the seed, of the Word of God, that it shall accomplish that for which it was purposed. I love when the lessons fit the music that we use. And if you pay attention to like verse 2 of the song that we just sang, it talks about, well, even in verse 1, it talks about take your truth, read the Word of God, plant it deep within us, and then shape and fashion us into your likeness. Or in verse 2, it also talks about cause our faith to rise, our eyes to see your majestic love and authority, words of power that can never fail. That's taken directly from the Old Testament lesson today. I hope you love that Old Testament lesson as much as I do. There's so many lines in there that jump out at you and grab you. Just amazingly beautiful poetry. For example, things that you've heard, maybe you didn't realize that they were in Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. There's the phrase that was in the song. The word of God shall accomplish that for which God purposed it. It will succeed. There's the good news. The harvest is plentiful. As the psalm that was sung this morning, the psalm almost sounds like it belongs on Thanksgiving. It's just incredibly beautiful, the language in it. You crown the year with goodness, and the paths overflow with plenty. The fold shall be full of sheep. The valleys stand thick with grain. And then you have, of course, the gospel lesson, and it talks about that those who are the good soil, who receive the seed that is given, the word of God, once again, that gets planted in our hearts, those who are good soil and receive it shall produce 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. I want you to, here's the good news. The word of God is the seed, and the seed is good, and it will accomplish that for which God purposed. Let me translate that a little bit more easily, and that is to say, the kingdom of God will be established. I think when you look around today and you see things falling apart all over the country, you see people turning against people, people blaming other people, tearing down symbols of our past, all kind, and then you see this crazy, stupid virus that some people don't even know they have it, and other people it kills and destroys their life. I mean, and then you see what it's doing to the economy and all. And there's a lot of anxiety going on as we look at the world around us. And yet what I want you to hear is the word of God will go forth, and it will accomplish that for which it's purposed. The kingdom of God will come, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the good news. That's the word that we can latch hold of. Now for the bad news. The bad news, go back to Isaiah once again, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. There's a system that gets set up. We used to be able to appreciate God's ways and understand God's ways, but because of the fall, God's ways became very different than our ways. Something got broken. To use the parable of the soils in the gospel, it comes out and says, the good news is there is the good soil that shall produce as it was intended. But then you've got three examples of bad soil. The soil really is an image for the human heart. And as you look at it, I think it's a beautiful discussion of the heart. You have the hard soil that the seed falls upon and the birds come and carry it off. And I think that's a hard heart. And I don't even need to go further, because hard-heartedness, I think, is a lot of at the root of what's going on in our country today. People have hard hearts. How does that happen? Well, So much of it is, if you go to the Middle East where Jesus told this parable, the way that they have fields is that they would till the ground. Of course, they'd have oxen or whatever animals that would lift the ground up, make it soft, make it ready to receive the seed. But there was always pathways in the fields. And the pathways is where people would walk going from one place to another. They didn't have sidewalks like we have now. They had these pathways, and they very often ran through fields. And people used them over and over and over again. So people walking on these pathways, you can imagine that soil, even if it was tilled, gets beat down, beat down, beat down, until it becomes like concrete. And that's the scene that we have. And so as the sower casts the seed, very often he'd throw it, and some, of course, would fall, not just on the good tilled soil, but on these hard concrete pathways. Well, the birds are waiting. All they do is they see that seed right there, and boom, they come down and get it. It's easy pickings, and it's gone. So how does a heart get hard? Well, it gets stepped on over and over again. How many of us, unfortunately, might have parents that instead of building us up, stepped on us? Let me see your report card. Ah, why'd you get this? Or worse, I've had people actually come to me and talk about alcoholic parents, where instead of calling them your children, your beloved son or your beloved daughter, they call them dumb, stupid. You'll never amount to anything. Boom, boom. Walking over you constantly, and the heart gets hard. And it turns away from grace, and it turns away from love, and it turns away from forgiveness. And it becomes angry. Anger stomps that soil down, and it becomes more and more like concrete. I think, too, it doesn't even take necessarily somebody walking over you to make your heart hard. Sometimes human beings, most of the time human beings, just have a heart that's hard. It is aligned differently than the way of God. God's ways are not our ways. It talks here in Romans very beautifully. The passage is about the first sentence. It says, "For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God." There's a hard heart. The mind that's set on the flesh is actually hostile to God and to God's ways. It doesn't understand God or God's ways. And so the lessons all talk about this. This is the bad news. We are predisposed to be bad soil. That's not good news. Let me give you an example to help you understand it. And that's, I think it comes in Matthew's gospel, and it helps you to understand why Jesus is telling this lesson about the soils, this parable. And that is, if you drop back to the previous chapter, he has... Jesus goes into the synagogue. Now, you would think in the synagogue he's going to run into pretty good people. These are people that have heard the word, and he comes in there, and they've studied the word, and he comes in, and as soon as he comes in, here's the Son of God coming in. They don't recognize him as the Son of God. They think he's a troublemaker, and they try to set him up. And there's a man there who's probably up near the front, and his hand looks something like this. He's just all crippled up. His other hand is fine, but one hand is crippled up. And they put him right in front of Jesus because they want to test him. They want to see if he will heal somebody on the Sabbath, if he will work on the Sabbath, because that'll give them a good excuse to try to get rid of him. He's obviously a lawbreaker. Well, Jesus comes in, and he sees this man who's been crippled up his whole life. And he goes up to him and he sees the hard hearts. There it is, the hard soil. He sees it of all the people that are in the synagogue. And he says, "Which of you, if you have a donkey or a sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, won't reach down and grab that donkey or that sheep and pull him out and save him?" And he says, you need to realize your heavenly Father loves you as a human being so much more than you ever care about a sheep or a donkey. So therefore, Jesus says, therefore it is right to heal on the Sabbath. You got to go back to, once again, you got to understand we twist things so easily. What you're dealing with is the Sabbath regulation. You're dealing with the Ten Commandments. You shall not work on the Sabbath day. You shall keep it holy. And so they take that then and they turn that into a legalistic law. And they use it as a law then even to punish and to turn against the Son of God, Jesus. And Jesus says, you got to understand why my Father says this law. He says, you work 6 days of the week. My Father worked 6 days in creation, but on the seventh day, he rested. The whole purpose of the Sabbath regulation is not to set up a law. The whole purpose of it is to set up a time of peace and a time of restoration. And it's fascinating here, Matthew uses the word. The man's hand was crippled, and he restored him. The very purpose of the Sabbath is for restoration. And so Jesus says, my ways are not your ways. My Father's ways are higher than your ways. And you don't understand them. My Father's ways is to show compassion and love. And here's a man who's been crippled his entire life. I may never see him again. And here he is on the Sabbath in your synagogue. I love him. And therefore, I will heal him and I will restore him. It's the very thing that should happen in the church here. Maybe your hand's not all withered up, but maybe your soul and your spirit is all withered up and has become hard. And the very purpose of Sunday, the very reason why we take time out to come to church, is to let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit come into us and restore us. And restore our soul. That's what's going on. But yet they look at it. Now here's the hard heart. When they see Jesus heal the man and restore him so that his hands both are well, they immediately get together and they plot. And the very words they say are, they plot to find a way to destroy him. They plot to find a way to kill the Lord of life and the Lord of love. You want a picture of hard soil? You just had it. The whole congregation turns on Jesus for showing love because they're all wrapped up in legalism and not on showing compassion. I think there's a huge word here for us because his ways are not our ways, and it's all too easy for us to have that hard heart. Go back to the good news, though. The word comes, and it will accomplish that for which it is purposed. Let the word of God, the seed, fall upon us. Our job, of course, is to be the receptive to the seed. And how do we do that? Well, I think the words of the song that we just sang are beautiful. Cause our faith to rise, to become more faithful. Cause our eyes to see, to really look and appreciate the love of God in healing this man on the Sabbath. And don't let that make us angry. Let your majestic love and authority, words of power that never fail, let their truth prevail over our unbelief. That's the human part. To open our eyes and really see what's going on. Open our ears and really hear the word of God and take it in and let it transform us. There's one more part, and that's the part that helps it not to fail, and that is it's the power of the Holy Spirit, as you read in the second lesson, the epistle that we have today. The heart of flesh does not believe, but the heart of the Spirit allows the Spirit of God to come in and dwell within us, allows the Word of God to come in, allows Christ to come in, and slowly take that soil that's been hardened and begin to soften it up. I think finally one of the keys that helps is this, is the word, and it's in the song that we have here, humility. Can we be humble enough to admit that God's ways are not our ways? His ways are higher than our ways. Can we be humble enough to admit that even if we don't understand how God works, that we need to pay attention and that we are messed up and that we need to try to adopt God's ways instead of our own ways? Let go of revenge and instead adopt forgiveness. Let go of anger and instead become people of love. Let go of earning your way forward because that's what's fair, and instead begin to lead lives of grace, receiving that which is undeserved and giving to those who do not deserve it. That's God's ways. Not here to discourage you, but I am here myself to recognize there's a different way to live. There's a different kind of soil. Let us have humility enough to try to live into it so that we indeed can become more and more like Christ and not find ways to destroy him and his kingdom. His word shall succeed and produce 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Oh, that we can be part of that harvest. Amen.